Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Have you rescinded Rosenberg's invitation to this bar
mitzvah? No, he's still on the list, but I did hear that you and I are both not going to be invited to his wedding. If people start saying no and then we get a late invite, I promise you right now, if I now receive an invitation in the second batching because the wrestling community can't go,
it doesn't matter what your name is.
There's zero chance I accept it. None.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I'm shredding the invitation and no gift.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, now DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 7 o'clock hour. This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Of course, the morning roast at 7:45 this morning. CJ McCollum is going to join us at 8:30. Break down a little NBA postseason here. Lakers and Warriors tied now at 1. Knicks huge game tomorrow, 3 o'clock. You can catch it right here on 98.7 ESPN. And, of course, Stuff You Missed, which is a segment that really shows you the greatness of one RJ Santillo at 9:15 this morning.
I think if people got an opportunity, Raymond and RJ, to see like the behind the scenes, like how the sausage is made, the amount of work, like RJ, he was doing the rejoin, like the amount of stuff that they do.
A lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. And they're so good at it.
Elite. Best in the business.
This is why this is the Four Horsemen.
Call is lined up, and I do want to get to the Giants stuff, and Dexter Lawrence is now locked in on what looks to be a very team-friendly, excellent deal. So you're pleased with Joe Shane about this one as well. We'll go there in a couple of moments. Let's go to Brian in Milburn first. Brian, good morning. Want to stay on the Yankees. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Brian, how are you?
All right. What's up, y'all?
All right, good.
The best show? Look, the best show on the radio, hands down. Any station. I'm going to give y'all that. But I'm going to say this to you. It's sad that, you know, Cashman could year after year but still keep his job. I don't understand this.
So you want him out?
I know. No, you know what? Do I want him out? Yeah, because he made way too many mistakes. Way. I could understand him trading for Stat, and I could eat that. But when you didn't want to DFA Gary Sanchez, like you, the Tampa Bay Rays or the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you took on IKF and Josh Donaldson contract, you got to go. You're making too many mistakes. Everybody you get is hurt. Come on, man.
But he also has, in all fairness, though, I agree. Like, I mean, there's a level of stubbornness to some of the moves that he makes that don't work out, that he sticks with, that drives me crazy. But, I mean, you could also bring up Matt Carpenter last year. Or, I mean, Willie Calhoun the last couple games. Like, he does make good moves. But, again, I don't know. I can assume what success for Hal is just by his actions. And I know we want to play this game of, you know, for the Yankees, it's championship or failure. That's not who the Yankees are anymore.
No, I think we need to put that to rest. That's not who the Yankees have been for quite an extended time.
And the Yankees aren't, the Yankees aren't really the gold standard anymore in baseball. They're not.
Now, RJ is popping in my ear. And RJ, let's let people know what you're saying. So I guess Carlin was in for Greeny yesterday, right?
Yes. That's right.
And he had a rant on the Yankees and on Brian Cashman. Is that accurate?
Yes.
And you think it, now it's a minute, Rick. So I don't want to play it and then have you be like, oh my God, that was so long. I want the show to come to an agreement that we would like to listen to it. And if we don't all agree, I don't want to hear it. Is it worth us playing and taking a minute of our lives, RJ?
I think so. Here's what I'll offer you.
Mm-hmm.
If at any point you want to tap out, you make it known during the cut and we will end it.
Rick, do you agree to this?
I agree. And plus, it's Carl. You know how much I love Carl. So, yeah, let's
yeah, you
to
love
it.
Him, but you take huge swiping shots at Garland.
Have you not noticed, sorry to interrupt you, RJ, I'll steamroll right over your face. Have you not noticed the more I like you, the more I tend to go after you?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's a sign of how much I love you.
Oh, that's nice.
No, except for Peter.
Yeah, no steamrolling. I was in your way. I apologize. But here's what I'll say, though. Dave, very clever, very mischievous, what you just did. You just laid it out so that if it's a bad cut or you don't like it, it's on me. That was nice way of doing of what you just did there.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, because a minute is that's a handful of sound. Like that's a meal.
It's a lot.
And if it's bad, I don't want Rick to be like, "Why did you play that?" I want it to be your fault.
So you're laying the groundwork now. We can, you know, when we sit in these meetings, and you can point back, "Oh, the 7 to 7:15 block on Friday, May 5th, RJ's fault."
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Bad guy.
No, I just think. Covering all my bases is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Here is Chris Carlin. It's a minute four, so get yourself a beverage. Brian Cashman has changed the Yankee standard.
There was a certain level at which the Yankees were accustomed to performing, and that level was about championships. It's no longer about that. He successfully moved the bar years ago once George Steinbrenner died. We are no longer going to apply the level of pressure on our people that was applied before to win. But that lack of pressure has really done nothing more than to force postseason mediocrity. So at some point, you have to look at what it is and change it. But I got news for you. There's no need to scream and yell about Cashman and Hal and any of that. Nothing's changing. Brian Cashman's never done a great job at judging pitching. And while you can talk about the fact that he could go somewhere else and have a job in a minute, that doesn't matter. What's happening here? Nothing. He just got a 4-year extension. He is the fifth Steinbrenner. That family is exceptionally comfortable with Cashman, and there is zero pressure to win at a championship level. There is pressure to win at a level that will maintain the money coming in from the fan base. That's where the pressure is.
Cool. That he was very relaxed and very calm in his analysis there. But if I'm a Yankees fan, and I think that's a good cut, and it didn't feel like a minute long, I would be furious with that.
Yeah, but what did he say that wasn't true?
No, I think he's very accurate. I think the standard for Brian Cashman and the Yankees has changed.
Yeah, because in their minds, the playoffs is a crapshoot.
Which in my mind, is ridiculous.
I think when you see what, I mean, the impediment to you as a franchise getting to the World Series has been the Houston Astros. And for some reason for them, it's not a crapshoot. Because they just, I mean, they get there and they win World Series. I mean, right now they're better. And there are teams like, I mean, Tampa with a minuscule payroll that they find ways to put together teams, find starting pitching, find, I mean, Wander Franco and Randy Arozarena and win games. And right now are off to an unbelievable start to the season.
Look what the Rays did this. The Rays, you would say, almost never sign a high-priced free agent, right?
No, not usually. I mean, they went up. They got Eflin this offseason.
But when they do, that player has to hit, right?
Has to.
And they bring in Zach Eflin, who, if you would have asked me, I'd be like, I don't really want Zach Eflin. Like, I've watched this guy for years. He's fine. He goes in there, and he's pitching terrifically. So they always are ahead of the curve, and they know what's going to work before anybody else seems to know that. They're a brilliantly run franchise. The Yankees right now, I don't know. I don't think they're at the same level as a lot of teams in baseball.
Well, I think part of it's they're not embracing their greatest strength,
which is they have a big, fat, thick wallet.
Right, and I think Carlin's right, and I think we've said this on the show a bunch of times. I mean, it's success for them because they're running it like a business is making money. And yeah, would they like to win a championship? Yeah, they'd like to win a championship, but I mean, it's not currently them not winning a championship is not affecting their bottom line.
No, not even a little bit. But stop with it. It's a crapshoot. If it was a crapshoot, you'd go to the World Series at least twice in a 13-year span, I would imagine, right?
You would think.
That's then a crapshoot. I mean, listen, the Braves, they're there every year. They don't win every year. The Dodgers, they're there every year. They don't win every year. The Astros are there every year. They don't win every year. But those teams go to the World Series. Yankees aren't even going to the World Series now.
No, they're not even going. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, what, the Astros have been to four World Series in the last 6 years? And won two of them?
I mean, they go consistently, and they beat up on you along the way.
I mean, last year won the World Series. Year before, lost in the World Series.
Won the World Series and humiliated you.
Yeah, it was not pretty.
Let's go to Breezy in the truck. Good morning, Breezy. You're on 98.7, pal.
Good morning, fellas. Listen, I just have a quick question. If the Yankees' mission statement changed, why do they continue to spend so much money on a team? They got like the second highest payroll in baseball right now.
Because the expectation is to spend money when you're the Yankees. They have to spend money. What would the fan base do knowing how much money that they're making?
They'd revolt.
If they weren't reinvesting it into the team to a
certain
level.
They'd revolt. If they didn't keep Aaron Judge, Breezy, the fans would have revolted. They would have gone bananas.
Yeah. All right.
Like, that would have affected that would have affected.
Yeah, thanks,
Breezy. That would have affected the bottom line. Like, if your fan base doesn't think you're, you see the Forbes list and everything else. Everyone has a pretty good idea of how much money the Yankees are making. If a good percentage of that is not being reinvested into the team, that's when you start losing fans. Tampa, they just accept it because they know the team doesn't make any money. I mean, their stadium situation stinks. I mean, it's just they get it. And then there's other fan bases, too, that look at, I mean, I gave you that list how long ago, like last month, where it was like most profitable teams that made the most money last season.
Oh, the teams that stink.
Right. And I mean, I'm sure as a fan of, you know, one of those teams, you're like, whoa, hold on. You guys are making this much money and this is how much you spend on this garbage that we have to watch?
Yeah, but a lot of owners don't care. I think the Steinbrenners care up to a point. I think Hal wants to win. I just don't think that winning is the be-all, end-all.
No, I agree with that.
Like, they're not the Oakland A's. They're not the Kansas City Royals.
No, but which is fine. Just don't pretend to be something that you're not.
But is it fine?
Is it fine?
I mean, you say which is fine, but is it? I mean, really? I mean, with the expectation of the Yankees fan, is it really fine to go out there and say, you know what, we're going to spend a lot of money, and it's just a crapshoot, whatever happens, happens?
Well, I think we've asked this question 1,000 different times. I mean, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a team that's inconsistent, not always on the mix, and then all of a sudden, you know, one random year wins a championship, or a team that's always in the playoffs?
Would you rather be the Red Sox or rather be the Yankees?
Red Sox.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, give me, and this is my opinion, give me more titles and then years of irrelevancy. I'd much prefer that.
Yeah, you say that, but I mean, as you wallowed in misery with the Giants because they stunk, that wasn't enjoyable.
Yeah, first of all, the Giants stunk. The Yankees never even a bad year for the Yankees, even if they missed the postseason.
I'm not talking about the Yankees, though. You're talking about the Red Sox and these other teams. I mean, those teams have bottomed out.
Yeah, but the Red Sox seem like they're climbing back out, and they've won a championship, multiple championships, much more recently than the Yankees have.
Yeah, I get it. But you're also, I mean, I'm not talking about the Yankees who are always good and always in the playoffs. You're talking about, would you want to be the Red Sox where you win a championship or a couple championships, but there's times where you bottom out? And you said, yeah, flippantly, yeah, absolutely.
I would.
But then
I
sat to sit here every day. No, I had to sit here every day and listen to how miserable you were when the
Giants
sucked.
That was a decade. The Giants didn't win a postseason game for a decade. I'm not saying a decade, but for a couple of years.
I think you'd obviously want the championships.
I want the titles. Listen, the Giants have had a horrendous decade up until this past season, and I still would hang my hat on they beat the Patriots twice in a 4-year span, which will buoy me forever.
I don't think they've spent the money the right way, and I think that's part of that's the biggest part of the problem.
Well, they certainly haven't built their team the right way, I'll tell you that.
I mean, if you have a certain amount of money that you want to spend, you've kind of put a soft cap on yourself. You can't afford to make a Josh Donaldson mistake if you're not going to be willing to fix it.
Let's go to Mike in the truck. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, good morning. I just want to say good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Good morning, RJ. Good morning, Ray. I love you guys. Y'all guys is the best show in the morning. I just want to say, for Brian Cashman, everybody's calling for his job, and everybody wants him to get out of management. Yeah, he could get a job anywhere else. But now, for the fans to actually say that they want this man fired, I really don't understand. For the last couple of years, yes, he's been building a team. He got Aaron Judge last year. And it's too early in the season for these fans to be calling for this man's job.
Well, I haven't heard a lot of calling for his job, though. I just think that you have to understand that this is kind of what the Yankees are mired in, is, you know, a maelstrom of, I don't want to say mediocrity because that's not fair, but, you know, non-competitive title contention.
They haven't been able to, they haven't been able to take that next step yet.
But for a long time,
they've been stuck in this. Yeah, I mean, they haven't been to a World Series, and that's ultimately the goal for any team.
Of course, it is.
I think that more people are frustrated that looked at what happened this offseason and the team that was built headed into this season, and said if there was any time to bring a fresh set of eyes in, would have been. I mean, his deal was up.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen.
He just got an extension.
Nowhere.
So I mean, that time has passed.
Nowhere.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Jays fan tweets and he says, LOL, the Yankees have spent the wrong way. The Mets have a $400 million payroll, can't hit their way out of a paper bag. Holy bleep, you guys sound dumb. When did we ever sit here and defend the Mets? Ever?
I can't stand Yankees fans. I can't stand them. We're not talking about the Mets. We're equally as critical that this was time to talk about the Yankees.
When we started the show, Jays fan, and discussed the Mets, we crushed them. And I already said they're on the verge of this division being over. So I don't know what you're looking for, right? The Mets are built very clunkily and did nothing to improve their team in the offseason other than swap out one great pitcher for another great pitcher. And we killed Epler.
They took three-fifths of their rotation and
we
swapped it out.
Killed Epler at the trade deadline and have done so for a good portion of this season as well. So what are you talking about?
He doesn't know what he's talking about. He just wanted to say something nasty, so he said it.
All right. I mean, we've been all over the Mets. The fact that they're 16-16 and lost to the Nationals and got swept by the Tigers is an absolute embarrassment. And offensively, they've been bad and their starting pitching has been bad. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say.
Here's the only difference, though, now. Here's the only difference is that I believe Steve Cohen is willing to correct the mistake and spend the money to do it. I don't think Hal is.
Well, I kind of think we know that, don't we?
Okay. Well, so that's one positive for the Mets. But no, is it risky to spend that much money on a 40-year-old pitcher and a pitcher that's going to be 39 in July? Yeah,
it's risky. Of course it's risky. Of course it is. You know what I don't see is all that risky? Is what the Giants did yesterday. They locked up he's a Pro Bowler.
He's a foundational piece.
He's an elite defensive tackle, and he's locked up, and he's going nowhere. And you know what? You look at the deal, it's a pretty attractive deal for the Giants. Dexter Lawrence, 4 years, $90 million extension, I believe $60 million guaranteed. I don't know how you couldn't love this if you're a fan of the Giants.
You got to love it. So he's 25, he'll be 26 in November.
Right.
Coming off a season, 7.5 sacks. From that spot, 28 QB hits, and when you look at, you mentioned it. So total guarantees the $60 million. That puts him second okay, at his position, second. The beauty of this deal, though, is cap hit-wise, his cap hit is $12.4 million, which is ninth. Ninth. So it gives you some flexibility, which you got to love. And then his average annual at 22.5 is, I mean, it's third. I mean, it's actually behind the deal that Jeffrey Simmons signed, which is not usually how the financials of the NFL works.
Right. Right? It's usually next guy up gets paid. Right.
So, yeah, I mean, again, another reason why if you're a Giants fan, you absolutely have to love who's in charge of your team right now.
They're building something, and it's obvious. Right?
Well, there's cohesion. But what I like the most is there's this cohesion, though. Like, when you look at, I mean, when you look at Joe Shane, and then you look how they handled the draft, and Brian Daboll with his coaching staff, the fact that you got both coordinators back, I mean, let's not undersell. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles lost both coordinators. Like, that's a pretty big deal. Right? So, I mean, the fact that you have, you know, you have a very competent GM, and then you couple that with,
Coach of the Year.
Great head coach, a defensive coordinator, an offensive coordinator that's going to be a head coach next season. After the season, you'd think, because he was one of the hot guys coming out in this coaching cycle. Yeah, man. I mean, I was going to bust your chops about Dave Gettleman being the one that drafted Dexter Lawrence, but I don't want to be a wet blanket.
Dave Gettleman
so
has – you can't be here. Was he here for 4 years, 5 years? You can't be here for that extended time and not have a couple of hits on your resume. I mean, that would be unbelievable. So he has a couple, and Dexter Lawrence is one of them. You look back to that draft, they moved up to take DeAndre Baker. So, but yes, Dexter Lawrence, good pick. And you know what? I love paying my own guys. He's just hitting the prime of his career. So you're paying Dexter Lawrence. He's 25. He's entering the prime of his career. Now you're adding pieces around him. It feels like there's some cohesion, like you mentioned, right? Wink Martindale's going to be back. They've improved the secondary. They added a linebacker they like a lot. So I couldn't be more pleased with the direction right now that the Giants are heading in.
Yeah, I don't know how you could say anything negative now. I mean, hell, you're coming off a season where you won a road playoff game. Quarterback's locked up. What's going to be, I mean, we'll see how he plays because he still has to prove himself. It's only 1 year, and he had a good season, not a great season.
He was fine.
But you did what you set out to do. I mean, that was the goal, was to get him done to give you flexibility to build the team around him. And now we'll see what he does with Saquon. I mean, after the draft was over, they said they would revisit those talks.
Well, he was on Good Morning Football yesterday. You want to hear what he had to say?
Oh, yeah.
Joe Shane, Good Morning Football, the latest on Saquon's contract talks.
Yeah, we talked with his representatives last week. You know, we had initial talks on where we might be in terms of numbers or, you know, trying to get something done, what the appetite is to get a deal done. And we said, hey, we'll step back, let the draft take place, and then we'll circle back up. So at some point over the next couple of days, you know, we'll circle back up. We'll have some conversations in terms of, you know, where we are, where they may be, and see if we can get something done. Listen, like, Saquon's a very good football player. He's captain last year. You know, he's a good locker room guy. I love him. We want him to be here, and, you know, but you got to have a deal where both parties are happy with, you know, where you end up, and that's what we're going to try to work for and see if we can get something we can both agree on.
I know I say this all the time, and maybe I sound like a broken record. To go where you were, to go where you are now, to go from Gettleman, who would have had this guy locked into a 4-year, $80 million deal, to this guy who says, yeah, we love him, we want him, but it has to be the right move and the right decision for both parties. And right now, it's not that for the Giants. He wants to get paid. We have him under wraps. He can't go anywhere. And this is the game that we have to play. I can't tell you how refreshing and wonderful it is to hear that.
I'm sure Saquon listens to that and goes, oh, yeah, you love me? Well, how about you show me how much you love me?
Well, you know what? They offered him a deal, and he said no.
Yeah, I know that. And then they took it off the table. So, listen, I mean, The beauty of bringing in someone like Joe Shane, and you couple him with Brian Daboll, is, because I think the point you made is a good point. If this was Dave Gettleman, he would have doubled down on what people consider a mistake, which is taking a running back with a second overall pick, right?
100%.
Because he drafted him. He wants everyone to believe that he's the smartest guy and prove everyone, you know, prove that he's right. So what is he going to do? He's going to sign Saquon Barkley to a new deal. As opposed to Joe Shane, who comes in, has the year to kind of feel his way through this, recognizes that Saquon Barkley is, you know, face of the franchise, amazing leader, one of your captains. Saquon has a really good year, but there's no emotion involved. If the deal makes sense for the Giants, they'll do it. If it doesn't, No big deal. You'll play under the tag. I didn't draft you. And then we can reassess after the season. Yeah, he's got a very, I mean, it's a very business-like approach.
But it's a likable way. He's not just a jerk about it. You don't hear him and say to yourself, oh, he's so belligerent and he's trying to, you know, anger the other side. No. He's like a kind, decent guy who says things that as a fan, I think you'd love to hear.
Yeah, you have a hard time. Like, even as, not even as a Giants, like, I'm not a Giants fan. I'm a fan of Dave Rothenberg, and I feel how excited you are. But even watching some, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, their draft room or, you know, when the Giants win a game and watching, you know, watching them all celebrate, you know, GM, coach, and everyone celebrating together. Like, it's, they got a likable group.
Very likable.
You guys got a likable group.
And very talented, right? Not even mean play. I mean, like, talent behind the scenes. Shane is good. He's really good. Dable is really good. What was coach of the year? Kafka is good. Martindale's good. Like, they're fine. I mean, it took so long. Finally, they're clearly heading in the right direction. 1-800-919-3776. Now, that being said, Diana Rossini was on Greeny yesterday, and she said, yeah, good, but the Giants aren't ready to challenge for the NFC East as of yet.
I still don't believe that they're going to be a team that can challenge the Philadelphia Eagles. I think there's such a significant difference in this roster and the quarterback position. As good as Daniel Jones has improved, he's not Jalen Hurts. Giants fans, I think, can be psyched about the improvements. I still don't think they're going to be that great, though.
I don't disagree with that.
I don't think that is an earth-shattering take from Diana Rossini.
No, I don't. I mean, the Eagles are a better team right now than the Giants.
Yeah, and the Cowboys are supposed to be a better team than the Giants.
Cowboys are better, too.
I think you just look at the landscape of the NFC and say to yourself, I mean, there's not a lot of really good teams in the NFC.
No, but could the Giants be in that 4-8 range in the NFC? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if your quarterback takes that next step, which I think, I mean, they paid him like they think he's going to take that next step.
And I think he's going to as well. So I think there is reason for optimism. It doesn't mean you win the division, but if you take another step forward, you get back into the playoffs, you win a playoff game, and then you go at it again and add more talent through the draft and maybe a trade or two, I think you're clearly heading in the right direction.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Thursday, June 1. You can hang with us all morning and all day. You might be sick of us by the end of the day, as a matter of fact. We'll start the day broadcasting live from Publicans in Manhasset, 6 to 10. Then we hit the Citi Field parking lot for a tailgate starting at 11. All that leading into the game at 1 o'clock against the hated Philadelphia Phillies. So spend the day with us on Thursday, June 1, starting at Publicans in Manhasset, over to Citi Field for the DiPietro and Rothenberg tailgate with all sorts of giveaways and prizes. We're headed to the game and sitting in section 128. So get your tickets and hang with us all day long, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN. I have confirmation. We are well over 50 confirmed attendees. Well over.
I have confirmation. I saw a sneak peek of, I haven't seen the jerseys yet.
Okay.
So we're getting our jerseys, our custom jerseys from someone not involved with the actual, with the company.
Right.
So the company has taken it upon themselves because
they're going to make their own.
They made their own, not only jerseys, which I haven't seen yet, but the t-shirts. And they are.
They're fire?
Nice looking t-shirts.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that surprises anybody. The company, they have a very high standard. They do very nice work, and the expectation is they're gonna put out a great product.
Well, what surprises me, though, is that you see, I mean, you just mentioned there's 50 people that are taking the time out of their day to spend the whole day with us, right?
Right.
And they're making their own swag for the show. The company, it's got the show, it's got our pictures and everything else. What surprises me is that you see there's an appetite, a real appetite for some DNR swag, and we're, as a company, not the ones that are producing it.
Well, listen, I can't speak to that.
You understand my frustration?
Yeah, I understand your frustration. I can't speak to that. All I can speak to is the people that are fans of the show, are elite fans, and I can't wait to hang out with them on June 1.
We had a meeting the other day, which I excelled at. I think I pretty much sold the show to the company.
When was this?
I think you know when the meeting was.
Oh, the meeting?
Was a dynamic in the meeting.
When eyes were rolled at some of your conversation?
At one portion of the conversation, which I don't even remember saying. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know why? Because some gave all, and some gave all during the show, obviously, that I had nothing left in the tank, because that's what I do for you. I emptied the
tank. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, right. Bang, bang, bang. Yeah.
Yeah. Did we get beautiful swag? Did we get beautiful swag from them?
Beautiful.
Yeah. Did you see me on the? Guess what I was using on the point yesterday?
The pen.
No, my beautiful notebook.
That's a nice notebook. They give us a nice notebook. They give us a soft, lovely sweatshirt, and also a nice Yeti mug.
Ha! And even asked us, are there any different color sweatshirts that you would like in the future?
Right. Listen, I mean, I don't know what to say. All I know is the company's going to show out what they did at the Jets tailgate. Right, they set up the Giants on the big screen TV, had a tent, and knew what kind of M&Ms I liked, and brought them and had them ready for me during the tailgate.
First class. That's how they roll. First class.
An elite fan base. So here you go. You can never make anybody happy. Matt Dayton on Twitter. Dexter Lawrence with like a laughing emoji. Still don't have a wideout that scares a defense. No one is afraid of this team. I don't think you have to be afraid of the Giants. I think they are clearly heading in the right direction. I think they have the coaching staff in place, which is difference makers. You hope and pray that the quarterback is going to take a big step. And I'll tell you what, you might not have a great receiving core, but your receiving core looks to be a lot better than it was heading into last season. I'll tell you that right now.
Absolutely better. It has to be. It has to be. I like the Jalen Hyatt pick.
How could you not like that pick?
I think he's what you need. Well,
and how could you not like Darren Waller?
Right, well, because he doesn't stay healthy. I mean, anyone that wants to be negative can find a reason to be negative. Like the person's tweet that you just read. I mean, no one for a second was talking about who was scared of the Giants wide receivers. We were talking about the GM doing a good job of locking up a foundational piece moving forward.
That's right.
At a number financially that makes sense and cap-wise makes sense. God, I mean, it's unbelievable, man.
Well, because people see the negative. And
you're
right.
They suck.
They don't have a wide receiver that you look at and you say, oh, my God, terrifies me. By the way, I was reading an article yesterday. Apparently, the Giants really wanted to move and attempted to make a move to move up to grab Zay Flowers.
Yeah, I mean, you heard Renan. I mean, Renan, without saying it, kind of insinuated that he was their favorite.
Yeah, that they loved him, but Baltimore nabbed him. Boy, Baltimore's gone from we don't have any weapons and a quarterback who we don't even know where he's going to wind up to the quarterback's locked up. We now have Odell Beckham and we have Zay Flowers.
Yeah, but it was important, though, for them, too. I mean, they have a new offensive coordinator, too. Like, they needed to get this stuff done. And I think, I mean, wasn't it Lamar that told him, hey, he wanted Odell and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, he wanted both. Sounds like Hopkins is going to stay in Arizona now.
Oh, speaking of Arizona, did you see that they were trying to...
I saw it with Atlanta, right?
They were trying to trade Kyler Murray, yeah.
Yeah, of course. So what they would do then is tank the season and try to get Caleb Williams next draft.
That's what they'll be doing, yeah.
And don't they have... They have Houston's number one pick next year.
Yeah.
So, they could arguably have two top five picks next season.
They had a good draft, man.
Very good draft.
They still got the offensive tackle.
Their new GM is very good.
Yeah, it's the owner that you worry about there.
Yes, the Bidwell family is an interesting concoction.
How do you think that sits with Kyler Murray that they're trying to move him as he's rehabbing from a blown-out knee?
Not great, but, I mean, is that come as a tremendous surprise?
No, I mean, I'm sure he's happy the amount of money that they paid him.
The guy's making hundreds of millions of dollars if you have to move to Atlanta.
Can I explain something to you?
What?
Okay. Is that there is a certain point in everyone's career, and there's also this, I don't want to say it's a cockiness, but there's an arrogance that every athlete has, that they're the best at what they do. And then all of a sudden, at a certain point during your career, for whatever reason, you'll get that slap in the slap in the face.
You get humbled at some point?
Right. Where all of a sudden now you find out that they're trying to deal you because they don't think you're good enough and that they're going to do exactly probably what you just said, which is be bad this year and try to draft Caleb Williams. And then you get humbled. Like, money's great. All that stuff's great. But we still, I mean, every athlete still doesn't want, I mean, they don't want, I don't know the word I'm trying to use is. I'm searching very hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not humbled.
Humiliated?
It's not even humiliated. It's like, I don't know if it's replaced is the word, but it's like that there's, that the people, that your team thinks there's a better option than you. Like, all the money is great, but there's a certain level. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you view yourself at a certain level, and now all of a sudden, to have it come out that your team was trying to deal you, I mean, that's not going to from a guy who was already, I mean, there was already talk that he wasn't interested in doing all the extra studying.
Okay,
and
but
else.
Why do you think that they would consider dealing him?
For that reason, and plus the fact that he's, I mean, his leadership has been questioned.
His leadership is questioned.
He's coming back from an injury.
He's a little quarterback. He's coming back from major injury. You're hundreds of millions of dollars invested into this guy. If you could deal him, I'm sure they'd love to move on from him right now.
Yeah, well, obviously. Trying to get a deal done during the draft.
Right? And boy, they really set themselves up, though, to have two picks potentially in the top five. Could you imagine if they can get Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison?
Yeah, but just think about it. I mean, he's like, there's no reason that they have to play him. I mean, they could keep Kyler Murray just on ice with the knee.
That's right. So who is there? Is Colt McCoy still there? Who's their quarterback now in Arizona?
And they're going to be running the wing T just to make sure they have. They just hired Joe Judge, I was told.
Did they really?
No. Just to ensure that they get the first overall pick, they've hired Joe Judge.
Is Joe Judge working anywhere now?
I hope not.
You hate Joe Judge more than I hate Joe Judge.
No, I just don't think he's. I just don't think he's.
He's awful.
What did I tell you when I first heard his first interview?
You didn't like it right away.
With that act.
Yeah, but you know who loved him? Your guy.
Oh, he loved him. Poor Kay loved him.
You're fighting Joe Judge's.
Kay loved him.
I'm always looking at eyes because I can see everything in your eyes.
Nothing needs to be looked into or anything of that nature.
It's funny now. It's not funny when you think about what it was.
Could you imagine being in that locker room, though, having to listen to that garbage?
No.
Looking at their eyes. Like, come on, man.
I'm always looking at eyes because I can see everything in your eyes.
So on February 8th, 2022, did he get fired after this year?
Yeah, they let him and Patricia go.
Yeah, so I don't think he's working now.
No. He'll end up in Alabama.
That's kind of where everyone goes to re-energize their career, right?
It's coaching rehab is what it is.
Yeah, is exactly what it is. 1-800-919-3776. You know what time it is right now?
I hope it's time for the morning roast.
It is, in fact, time for the morning roast. Are you ready? Do you come equipped with a good, solid roast?
I think so.
Okay. Raymond, fire it away.
This is why I'm hot.
Is the morning roast.
Top of the morning. All right, before we get started, before we even do anything, Rick, there's always new listeners. I'm sure there's somebody on the app or in their car or walking around their home who say, "Ooh, the morning roast. What is that about?" Explain to the people what we mean when we say the morning roast.
Well, we probably should have done this about 5 minutes ago.
Well, we're doing it now.
Well, because we already started. I mean, you played the intro. The morning roast has already started.
All right, but that's fine. You can still explain it. We can line up the calls. Go ahead.
We're not up against the clock or anything.
That's right. Okay. We're in no rush.
I don't want to get yelled at. I'm adaptable. So here's what the morning roast is. It's your opportunity. It's a Friday. We're heading into the weekend. Anything you have on your mind that's bothering you, that's weighing you down. It could be my jacket last night. It could be what, you know, the Rangers. It could be Devils game one. It could be anything that is bothering you that you feel like you need to get off your chest to send you in the weekend.
A cleansing.
It's a cleansing.
A verbal cleansing is what it is.
It's a detox is what it is. You call 1-800-919-3776. You let it out. We talk about it and you're freed up for the weekend.
That's right. It's a you know what it is? It's a verbal colonic.
Well said. I think
Thank you.
In the intro, RJ.
It's a verbal colonic is what it is. Any of the four of us, Raymond, RJ, Rick, anybody like to lead off the morning roast or should you let me kind of choose the direction here?
Unless you feel you've got a very strong one. I might have something.
Okay, I'd like to hear yours.
Ooh, you're so rested and you went out and you went out for a night on the town the other day.
Did you go for a night on the town?
I wouldn't call it a night on the town. I went out for dinner.
With a special someone?
I went out for dinner. And, you know, that's all I'm giving you.
He had a beautiful steak.
Oh, how does he know all this?
Because I made the mistake of telling him things during the break, and this is what happens.
Why? I feel like that's... But those are nice little nuggets. Those are... Yeah. I mean, that's
is it bad
nugget?
To know you went out for dinner and had a steak?
No, it's not. It's really not. But you could see the road that you're trying to lead me down.
I didn't tell anybody that you were at the American Dream. I didn't say anything about that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
You went for a steak dinner at the American Dream?
There's a couple decent places to eat in there, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you roast away? You might want to roast him after he's done this to you.
Well, it's funny because he's partially to blame for this roast because during the week, Rick sent the tweet to the group chat, and it was an NFL Films video that a certain pot-stirring writer on Twitter decided to share.
No, the Cowboys receivers coach.
Well, okay, I'm glad you know what's going on. I'm glad
he looked grotesque. He should resign from his position. Here's the thing.
During the pre-draft process, you know, you have the pro days and people work out, and the Tennessee pro day featuring future Giants receiver Jalin Hyatt, who I happen to like. I think he's a good receiver. I think the Giants got a good one. I think he's going to be a player. But he gets challenged by the Dallas Cowboy receiver coach, Robert Prince, a well-established veteran coach. And, well, here's that interaction.
You know what you are, right? You know what you are.
What's that?
I'm saying, like, you have a skill set, right?
What's that skill set?
Huh?
What's the skill set?
It's your speed.
Well, I can run routes, though.
We're about to see.
We will see.
Right? We're about to see.
I got you.
Now, the labeling of that tweet... with the video, it says that he's doubting him, and I don't see that as doubting him. And I could tell by the general.
I thought he was talking down to him.
He's challenging him, which is something that coaches do. And my general thought is that the reaction to that video tells you who's been coached by anybody in I wouldn't say just football, but any sort of sports. But like in football, generally, coaches. Position coaches especially will challenge you. I think that's a wild misrepresentation. It wasn't him like, oh, I don't think you can do this. That's him saying, hey, I've been told that you can't do this and this and this. Why don't you show me? And that's kind of what the challenge is. I'll put it this way. Do you think the Cowboy receivers coach would be talking to Jalin Hyatt like that if they weren't really interested in him? Because I know the Cowboys liked him, and I know the Cowboys were interested in grabbing him, and maybe if the Giants hadn't taken him in the third round, he could have been an option, and I would have been happy to have him. I think the kid's going to be good. I just think people need to like back up. Oh, that there's a little comment. Oh, he's going to make the Cowboys pay twice a year. I don't think that comment bothered him that much, but the coach has a track record. He's somebody who seems to know what he's been doing a long time. Do you know one of his previous stops, Dave?
I do not.
He coached in Detroit. A big breakout season for a guy named
Kenny Golladay. Oh. Kenny Golladay
led to him having a big payday with the New York Giants. I think the guy kind of knows what he's doing as a coach.
Here's what I will say: there is no way, Rick, zero chance in the world that he uses that as his roast if that's not the Cowboys' wide receiver.
Oh, 100%. I'll tell you that 100%. You're right. I couldn't agree with you more.
You feel a way about it because the Cowboys got dragged through the mud, and I actually think you bring up fair points. And I'd like Rick's take on it. It hit me the wrong way. The way he talked to him, I didn't appreciate it.
But how do you think coaches talk to players?
Well, I felt like he was talking down to him. Rick, what was your take on that?
I can't tell. Like I listened to it a couple different times. I know how Jalin Hyatt took it. I don't know if that was like, if I say that your skill set is just your speed, it pushes you to prove to me otherwise. Like, if that was something he knew would bother him and then would get the best out of the workout. Like, I'll show him. I'm not just a speed guy. Watch how crisp these routes are. Like, if that was a kind of like a motivational thing. Because if Ray's right, and I think he is because he pays so much attention to the Cowboys, and Jalin Hyatt was someone that they liked, maybe it was kind of... Dude, I'm telling you right now, during some of these meetings, did you see the story that just came out about Skowronski and his meeting? Where Arthur Smith was telling him how boring he was the whole time, wasn't even paying attention to his answers? It's like they purposely they test you, and see how you react.
Yeah, they
under
want to
stress.
Put you through the ringer.
Like they do the thing where they send the kids to the combine to the doctors for their imaging and stuff, and then teams will make them on purpose wait like 3 hours
to see how they react to it. Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't react well to that.
Like you'd walk out.
I probably would. No, I wouldn't if it was for that, but I would be very unhappy.
The whole thing, the entire time you're around during the draft process.
It's a big game, though. All they do is play head games with you.
Well, because they're trying to put you in uncomfortable. Like, they want to see who you really are. Because they feel like when they get you, it's kind of like a representation of yourself.
Right.
You're trying to be like the best version of yourself, but they want to see you in.
Yeah, they want to push your buttons to see at the worst times how you react. RJ said his roast is just kind of a follow-up to this. So, RJ, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, Rick, you actually led me right to it. So my roast actually is of Arthur Smith, that story you just mentioned. I have some of the quotes of this story from Dan Pompey, I believe of The Athletic. And so these are quotes from Skowronski. The one that really got me, Arthur Smith, who apparently, according to Skowronski, first round pick of this last week's NFL draft, Arthur Smith was looking at his computer the whole time, barely said a word to him. The time he looks up, he goes, "I'm sorry, you're really boring me. Your answers are so boring." This is from the guy who, do you know what the Atlanta Falcons did on offense last year? And I formerly, before I knew he was kind of a psycho, I didn't mind Arthur Smith. You kind of give him a pass. The Falcons were 24th in offense. I'd say Arthur Smith is 1 year away from getting fired. I don't really understand the process of pushing guys that, let's see how they're going to react. In what, a 15-minute window where he's not your player? You're pushing him for what? You're not going to see the results 16 minutes from right now. I don't understand.
Well, it's all a test. I mean, it's seriously, like, I had one of my meetings where the entire meeting, they ripped me apart. Like, yeah, why do you handle the puck so much? You stink at it.
But is the point to certain positions, maybe, goaltender, starting pitcher, quarterback, maybe. He's an offensive lineman. His job is to go rip someone's head off. If he doesn't handle it well and he takes that aggression out on the man across from him, okay, fine.
Well, maybe that's what he wanted, though. Maybe he wanted him to snap.
He wanted to erupt so you could see a mean streak in the kid.
Like, I don't care who your dad is. And he just smashed his computer.
The Richie Incognito version.
Oh, great. That's what you want. Starts taking his head and ramming into the wall.
I've just never understood these stories. It seems fairly specific to the NFL. I know sometimes we hear, it's only what we hear about, and it's other sports at times, but it seems like it's a mission. Who can just get someone to lose their mind?
Well, didn't they ask, Ray, wasn't it Des Bryant?
Yep.
Is your mother a prostitute?
Jeff Ireland straight up asked him that, yep.
Yeah, it feels like they'll ask anything. They have carte blanche to do whatever it
is. Well, then you'll get the question, like, if you were going to kill someone, would you use a gun, a knife, or your hands?
Like, what would you use?
It depends.
Calamari trash.
I think I would have to. I think it would depend on what I thought was the best answer for the person asking the question. Like, I think if I was, I mean, it would depend on my position too.
Right, and also who are you trying to kill? Like Andre the Giant, you're not going to use your hands, right?
No, you can't kill him with your hands.
It just depends on who the person's going to be. That was a good roast, RJ. I think you did a good job today. Why don't we get to a call or two, and then Rick and I will kind of play cleanup here in this game. Let's go to Ryan in Thousand Islands. Good morning, Ryan.
Dave, Rick, how are we doing this morning?
We're doing.
That's good. I would like to roast the unaware drivers out there that do not pull over for emergency vehicles. After 2 days of working on the ambulance and dealing with the summer people that we have coming up, pull over. It might be your family that we're going to. It might be your friends. That's all we ask. Just get over, stop.
People are terrible. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say.
No, you know what's even worse? I'll tell you worse than that. And that's
ambulance
bad.
Coming down the road and you don't pull over to the side?
No, I'll tell you what the worst is, okay? You're stuck in traffic, okay? And then you have an ambulance or whoever it is they're trying to make their way through. And it takes people forever to get over. But then the second that they get over,
they want to get right behind the ambulance?
Directly behind it.
Yeah, because now they know that it's going to be, it's like a lead blocker.
And now they're speeding through the traffic with the ambulance.
It's like Kyle Juszczyk of ambulances.
It's unbelievable.
Let's go to Matt in Smithtown. Matt is on the Morning Roast.
What's going on?
What's going on, Matt?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, cool, man. I just wanted to, for, you know, my rant. Can't take the Mets anymore, guys. You know, it's only 32 games in, and I feel like we're looking at the worst team that money can buy, baseball part two. And just want to go into the weekend feeling like something's going to change. Top of the order's not hitting. Guys are paying a ton of money, aren't pitching. I know there's 130 games left, but tell me it's going to get better.
I think it's going to get better. I do. I stand by that. I don't think you catch the Braves. I still stand by the fact that the Mets will improve as the season goes along.
Here's the thing, though, because, I mean, I don't think he's wrong. I mean, for the amount of money you have invested in this team, this is not what you expected to see. And
oh, I agree with that too.
Okay, but I mean, I'm going through the money that they spent. I mean, did you not want to pay Edwin Diaz?
Well, of course you did.
Okay, did you not want to pay Brandon Nimmo?
Of course you did.
Were you happy that they signed Justin Verlander?
I think so.
Okay, so I mean, tell me the move that you weren't. Are you happy they brought Jeff McNeil back?
Yeah, but are you better? I guess would be the question.
No,
you spent
you're not.
All this money, are you a better team?
No, you're not. But it's not like, I mean, You re-signed the players that you wanted back. I mean, Brandon Nimmo got a lot of money, got off to a really good start. He's struggling now, but I don't know why the hell he tried to steal, you know, second base last night, yesterday afternoon, but.
Yeah, please don't start that. Jamal in Yonkers. Hi, Jamal. You're on the Morning Roast.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing? Long time no speak to Dave. And what's up, Rick? First time speaking to you.
What's going on, Jamal?
All right. I wanted to roast the NHL. And I've been holding this roast for years. Now I got an outlet to say it. Get rid of the regular season overtime system. If you're going to give a losing team a point, you might as well go back to the old overtime ways of the NHL. If you're going to go with this current system and giving the winning team the 2 points and still giving the losing team a point, what's the sense?
What do you want? Winning team gets 2 points, losing team gets nothing?
Exactly. Go get rid of the overtime record slot, period. Just go straight wins and losses, period.
Well, what are you going to do with that? I mean, you're not going to play. They're not going to play in unlimited overtime, though. So what do you say? What are you suggesting?
He's saying do it the way you do it.
What I'm saying is, okay, play your 5 minute regular overtime. And then afterwards, you could have your shootout. Whoever wins the shootout, they get the 2 full points. That's it.
He's just saying eliminate the 1 point for the loser.
Well, you're going to get 1 point for a tie, though, regardless.
Yeah, but he doesn't want that. He wants the winner gets two, loser gets none.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. They're not going to give 2 points and no points on a shootout.
Right. Nor should they. I have zero issue with how the NHL sets it up. None.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. I wish I had a chance to play in the 3-on-3.
3-on-3 is awesome.
Because I think it would be fun for me handling the puck in the 3-on-3.
The 3-on-3 is awesome.
I mean, you have so many opportunities. You have an odd man rush down your end. You make a save. I mean, you could drop the puck and lead the rush up the other way. It'd be great.
They'd take you out of the game.
No, I'm not saying go past the red line. I'm just saying, like, you initiate the offense. Make a nice pass.
You would love that. All right, I have to tell you something. You want to know what it is?
This show's brought to you by whatever.
Yeah, you're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN WEPN-FM in New York. I have a roast. I think you guys might jump me for it, but I feel strongly about this. So it's a roast that was used originally, but there's kind of an addendum to it. There's an amendment to it, and I think I have to bring this up.
Okay.
So last week, RJ roasted Giannis, and I was completely on his side, and I thought he was 100% right. I need to double down and roast Giannis again because in a non-failed season, it's okay, it's 1 year, it's not that big a deal. Well, you know what? Now there's repercussions for this non-failed season, and that is your head coach. Your head coach is now looking for work, winning at a 70% clip, won a championship a couple of years back, had a non-failed season, and is now out of work. So Giannis, and I'm telling you, I love Giannis. I do. I love when he speaks. I love the fact that I think he's a role model. I love how he plays the game. I love that he didn't even think about wanting to leave Milwaukee. He wanted to create the team around him in Milwaukee. But every greatness, every elite athlete, every role model still has foibles. And I think in what he did with the quote of, I know a lot of people came out, they loved it, defended to see. Even if you don't win a championship, you can still have a success. And not everything is so black and white. No. No, no, no. When you're have the best record in the NBA and lose in 5 games to a team that you should beat every single series you ever play them, that's a failure. And now on top of it, your coach is fired. Well, if it wasn't a failure, if the ownership actually looks at this and says, you know what, he's right, it's not a failure, you wouldn't even consider moving on from the head coach. So my morning roast goes again. I know it was used last week, but I feel even stronger about it now. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Not to mention the fact you know that that Coach Budenholzer's brother died.
Yeah, in a car accident.
Yep. Yeah, before game four.
And he didn't even skip a beat. You didn't even know about it, actually.
No, but there were some questions too, as you know, why haven't they adjusted in the series? And then you find out that his brother died during the series, which is
terrible, terrible, yeah. Terrible. So I don't know if it's a repetitive roast, but I needed to get that off my chest.
No, I think it was good. I mean, it's topical. Coach Bud just got fired. Yeah.
Mike in Miami is on the Morning Roast. Good morning, Mike.
Gentlemen, how we doing? Been a while.
What's going on, Michael?
Well, whose fault is that, Mike? It's your fault that you haven't called.
Sorry. I've been going through it at work's been a little crazy with this kid, so it's been tough for me to call in, but we're back. And I'm calling to roast all of the Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets haters as of late, just finding anything that they can to take the negative route on him going to the games and him being in the New York media. I think it's great. I know, Rick, I got to think you think it's great.
I haven't heard a lot of negativity when it comes to Aaron Rodgers.
Don't you feel like you've been hearing the he's wants the clout? I feel like it might be on the radio shows of some other radio station that I don't listen to.
I don't know. I haven't felt a lot of that. I felt like there's been a tremendous, and thanks for the call, Mike, a tremendous amount of positivity surrounding Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think, I think Jets fans are positive about it, but I think there's also people that aren't fans of the Jets that want to kind of bring us down.
Well, that's life, right?
When things are old, it's only going to be for a year. Yeah, we've heard all that stuff.
All right, that's not that big a deal. Let's go to Randy in the Bronx. Randy, he's very turned off by a certain people. Go ahead, Randy.
Hello, good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Long time listener, first time caller.
Oh, well.
I have a pet peeve, major roast. I actually have two, so I'll give you the first one. And if you guys are okay, I'll give you the second one. So my first pet peeve, major roast, is I can't stand people that litter. Especially when you're driving in your car, people roll down the window and throw trash in the street. Pisses me off. I was once at a light. Cop was in front of me. The cop actually rolled down his window and threw litter out the window. I was so pissed I wanted to make a citizen's arrest. I just can't stand people like that. So that's my first roast.
All right, I like it. I think his first roast was good enough that it earns him a second roast.
Appreciate it. Second one, I can't stand people who have dogs that let their dogs drop poop on the street and don't pick it up. Why?
I'm now, the type of person. Randy, you could almost say that's two very similar roasts there, right?
It is, but dog doodle is just like a step higher than throwing garbage out your window. You can't even walk in the grass in New York. You're walking in the grass and you see, dude, I once had a picnic. I'm sitting in the grass next to my wife in a blanket, enjoying myself. I look over and what do I see? A dry piece of dog turd.
Ugh.
So that's just it.
That's a good double roast there, Randy. Thank you for that. Yeah, littering, not cleaning up after your dog, these are major faux pas. Disgusting.
Especially right in the street, just ugh.
But why would you not clean up after your dog?
Oh, how many times you see it, man? I walk back to my car from the studio, and you're dodging landmines.
It's disgusting. All right, why don't you go ahead and give us your roast?
Okay, here we go. My roast is, and I hate to do this because I like him, but I did not like what he had to say, and I don't know why he felt the need to address it. And I actually still think it's weird that he hasn't spoken to the GM yet. My roast is for Gerard Gallant. Yes, your team was really good last season, made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Final. This team had a good regular season this season. But your team lost in the first round of this year's playoffs after taking a 2-0 lead on the road. And for you to sit in front of the media and defend your record, fine, I have no problem. But don't pretend like we had one bad week is the reason why you should keep your job. It was the week. It's the only week that mattered the entire season was the bad week that you had. Your team didn't make the appropriate adjustments, and your team got embarrassed, let's say, in Game 7. And you want to explain it away as, hey, good season, just a bad week. That's not what you want to hear from.
It's a bad job by him. You're 100% right. I think we all brought it very strongly today. It's a good roast from you. The callers were good. It was another successful morning roast.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.